Healing with crystals is an ancient practice. Yet did you know that the essence of gemstones can be used in homeopathy? Spiritual awakening, self-awareness, and intuition are some of the gifts that gemstone remedies can bring to your life. Homeopath, teacher, and author Giovanna Franklin will show you a different perspective on the healing properties of these magical gemstones. Join us in Gemstones and Crystals in Homeopathy and discover the power of gemstone remedies.
Hi to Gemstones and Crystals in Homeopathy. My name is Giovanna Franklin, and I am here today to tell you about crystals and gemstones for their healing properties. As a homeopath, my job, my mission is to heal people, to make people feel better. For those of you who don't know or are not very familiar with homeopathy, homeopathy is a holistic form of medicine that treats the individual on every level, on the physical, the spiritual, mental, emotional, as a whole package, because all these levels are not separate from each other. And the main difference between homeopathy and another natural form of medicine, like herbology, for example, is that in homeopathy, anything in the universe can be. And when I say anything, I really, really mean anything. It can be not just plants, not just animals or minerals, metals, but also gases and even what we call imponderables like rainbows and moonlight and absolutely everything. So what about gemstones then? Well, for some reason, even though homeopathy is over 250 years old, crystals and gemstones have come quite late, relatively recently. Why is that? I've been thinking about this, and I have a theory about it, and I'll explain to you what my opinion is, and I may be wrong, but we will go into that. So intuitively, we know that crystals do something to us. And indeed, I mean, since the beginning of civilizations, crystals and gemstones have been coveted and desired and admired, and not just because they're pretty and sparkly and precious, but definitely there's more to them than that. Indeed, we do have a lot of literature, medical literature, on the healing properties of crystals and gemstones. Think about Ayurvedic medicine, for example. In India, we have the Garuda's books, where you can very, very detailed description of remedies, how to use them, what for, what kind of ailments, and so on. And in Chinese medicine, crystals are also widely used. Think about ancient Egypt, how precious stones like this one here, lapis lazuli, that was widely available in ancient Egypt and widely used for a number of physical ailments. And in the West, I don't know if we were maybe later than that, but I would say in the West, we need to go back to the 12th century, when we find St. Hildegard von Bingen, who was a Benedictine abbot in Germany. And really, she was, I would say, the Leonardo da Vinci of her time. She was an accomplished musicologist, but she was also a scientist, a herbalist. She studied plants, the healing properties of plants, herbs, and flowers, and crystals. She was what we would call today, I guess, a psychic. She could speak to God. She had visions. And you may be surprised, but she was not at all considered or criticized or attacked or persecuted for being a woman doing doing science. If you, we are used to thinking about the Middle Ages as a kind of block of period where everything was the same and everything was dark and reason and science was obscured by fear and superstition. Particularly women were very much limited in what they were allowed to do. Now, that is not the case all through the Middle Ages, and particularly the 12th century, I would say, was a very good time for women to advance, to acquire knowledge. Hilde von Bingen was not the only one. There was another mystic in the Netherlands at the time, called Nijmegen, for example, and she founded her order. She actually founded a brand new religious order. And so this was a very exciting time, and crystals were perfectly fine to be included in healing books that Hildegard wrote. For example, there's a book that we still have called Physica, where she described, again in detail, her experiments and her treatments with crystals. And so what happened after that? Well, a little bit after that, a couple of centuries after that, the witch hunt started in Europe. And that's when being a woman and being curious and wanted to learn things could be dangerous indeed. And this is when folks medicine, particularly herbal medicine and crystals and all that good stuff, went underground, had to go underground. And after that, I think that's when crystals and gemstone healing in particular became relegated and considered somehow superstition and woo-woo and especially almost heretical and almost against religion. And I think homeopathy it perhaps was affected by that. And again, this is completely my opinion. Perhaps there was maybe on a subliminal level, on a subconscious level, there was a little bit of snobbery about those when it came to healing. And that's perhaps why homeopathy ignored crystals for so long. So, but like I said, we all know that crystals do something. If you've been in a crystal shop, you know, have you ever been into a crystal shop and your crystals are everywhere and they're beautiful and they're sparkly and so on, but maybe perhaps you felt something flame, perhaps you felt like a tingling, like a surge of energy, or perhaps your mood changed, you got a bit euphoric or the opposite, perhaps you felt that it was too much and you didn't know why, but you had to get out as quickly as you could. And that's because we know that there is this energy. This is a very good time we live in. And you might disagree with that. And you may say, what are you talking about? Everything is collapsing. Everything is going wrong. But I think this is the best time because science is finally with woo-woo, with alternative medicine, with homeopathy, with crystals. Because when you think about quantum physics and the fact that scientists now don't so much look at material, at substance, but they are talking more frequencies, about energies and about magnetic fields. And they now acknowledge that crystals have a very strong magnetic field around them, and their frequency does interact with our frequency, with our magnetic field. And so these things are coming up. And so more and more alternative medicine and crystals and light healing and all these other cutting edge modalities, suddenly they are not crazy anymore. They don't sound as crazy as they would have done a few years ago. So that's why I think this is really, really the best time. And so this is the time to come out and say, yes, I am a crystal healer, or yes, I am a crystal lover, and I use them for this and this and this. And it's not a taboo anymore. And it's not, like I say, it's not considered so woo-woo anymore, or at least less and less. The difference between homeopathic is and the way that healers have used for the longest time is mainly that Vedic medicine and in ancient medicine you would hold the crystal hands, or you would place the crystal on a specific part of your body depending on what the problem was. In other words, you were using crystals externally. In homeopathy, we use crystals internally because we turn them into the little pills or drops of water and we can take them internally. What does that do? Well, it does a lot of things that I will explain. But the main thing is that your relationship with the crystal will, and I think it will change in a better way. You will have a deeper connection with the crystal. So just because when you're taking a crystal homeopathically, you don't necessarily see the crystal be in the usual form of the beautiful crystal like this, beautiful quartz, but I promise you, your relationship with gemstones will deepen. And speaking about relationship with gemstone, what's your relationship right now with crystals? I'll tell you about a little bit about my relationship with gemstones. So that's it when I was little, and my mom was incredibly passionate about jewelry and gemstones in particular. I used to joke that she was the working class version of Elizabeth Taylor. And I know I'm aging myself here, but I know that Elizabeth Taylor was really famous for her collection of incredibly expensive, precious jewelry. Now, my mom was not in the same league, but she was very knowledgeable and very passionate. Not so much, of course, because of their beauty, but much because of the value or status, you know, as a status symbol or anything like that. I really spoke to her in a way that when I was little at the time, I found really strange, to tell you the truth. And also I was not particularly happy at 6-7 years old to, you know, have to schlep around with my mom from going to antique shop auctions and all these places where we would spend hours and hours looking at pieces of jewelry, stones. I mean, how long can you look at, you know, a piece of crystal or an emerald or something? She was really like analyzing it. And over time, I realized a bit like passive smoking, I absorbed that knowledge, all that information. It was a real education, actually. Now that I'm much older, I do appreciate and I am grateful for the time stones, you know, from the example being able to tell the difference between an emerald and a sapphire, or being able to understand where was mined purely by the shade of color, the shade of blue, and then learned about cuts and about hardness and all the rest of it. So that was a real education, and I learned growing up to have a respect and an appreciation for these gemstones. And as I grew up, I also realized that I could tell the difference very quickly between costume jewelry and the real thing. And the difference is that costume jewelry or fake gemstones are not alive. I don't know how else to explain it. To me, gemstones are alive. There is a fire in them. There is something that is inside. They're not dead. Look at, I don't know if you ever seen the difference, or if you ever thought about the difference between cubic zircon, which I really don't like, and real diamonds. Now, cubic zircon, partly, they can be beautiful and perfect and very decorative, but they're dead. Their light is, don't reflect the light like a real diamond does. A real diamond has all the colors in the world inside, and they move all the time. They move with the light. So there is life. That's what I mean. There is life. And when you think about how crystals and gemstones are actually formed in the natural world, you understand what I mean by fire and life. So how are crystals and gemstones formed? Okay, so most crystals are formed from volcanic activity. So picture the scene, there's a volcano eruption, lava everywhere, flowing, bubbling, hot, fire everywhere. At some point, this lava, this river of molten, will cool down. And inevitably, at some point, air bubbles will get inside that lava and cool down. And what that does, there you go, your crystal. So this is how most quartz crystals are formed. And first of all, the name crystal, by the way, is comes from the Greek crystallos, which means ice. And the theme was, the myth was that the Greek gods had created this sort of permanent ice on purpose to make things prettier. So this is how quartzes are formed. And then the different colors of crystals, of quartzes, depends on the traces amounts of minerals that are mixed in. The silicon dioxide, which is what mainly quartzes are. So you can have clear quartz, but if you have traces of manganese, that's when you have amethyst, which is obviously rich purple color. Or you can have citrine quartz, or you can have pink quartz, or you can have smoky quartz, on the combination silicon dioxide and metals. Now, other gemstones like rubies, sapphires, diamonds, and emerald, they are formed differently. They are formed even deeper down in the bowels of the earth. Now, first of all, these four gemstones are, in gemology, they're considered, they're called the cardinal gemstones, and they are considered precious stones, as opposed to all the other ones I mentioned, the quartzes and all the other ones that are considered semi-precious. And what's the difference? So precious gemstones are graded and considered precious based on three criteria. The first is the hardness, and they are very, very hard. Obviously, diamond being the hardest. They're very rare, much more so than quartzes, and they reflect the light beautifully, much more than other semi-precious stones. So these are the criteria. That has a relevance in homeopathy too, in the sense that patients, in my experience, and again, feel free to disagree if you have a different experience, but in my practice, patients who need precious are way rarer. They don't come about very often compared to patients who work really well with like pink quartz and so on. So that also has a relevance in homeopathy. So these precious gemstones, like I say, they are, imagine, you know, you're in the center of the earth, or you are way, 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 way down in the bowels of the earth. There are random pieces of rock, and they are put under immense pressure, heat, because obviously, basically the conditions down there, it's hot, and it's dark, and there is the pressure of everything else on top of these rocks. And so the result is like, you know, these rocks being squeezed together in a random formation, then they're squeezed hard that they in the end is a kind of cut, and you get this crystallized juice, rock juice, that cools down and becomes a crystal, basically. And that finally gets liberated by miners and cleaned up and everything. Then it reveals its amazing spark and beauty, glory. So think about diamonds. What is a diamond? Carbon, just like a pencil. But it's a piece of carbon subjected to incredible heat, incredible pressure, and for millions of years, for the longest time. And that's how you get a diamond. So back to homeopathy. When did homeopathy finally start to look at crystals and gemstones for their healing properties? So the first gemstone that was created as a remedy was in 1970. And that was done by a wonderful homeopath called Rajan Sankaran, who is an Indian homeopath, is still alive. He was one of my teachers. I'm fortunate to have been in some of his seminars, and I read all his books. And you probably know his name if you know a little bit about homeopathy. He's an incredibly prolific author. So what did he do? So he took a small diamond, and he had this diamond pulverized, we say triturated in homeopathy speak. And once it got triturated and pulverized, he did what we do with for any to make any homeopathic remedy, which is it was diluted over and over and over. It went through a process of successive dilutions until he got the potency that he needed. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about potency, basically, one of the principles of homeopathy is that less is more. And even less is even more. And so the more you dilute a substance, the more powerful it becomes in terms of healing. And this is a sticky point very often, because, you know, the way we are brought up, we always think that, you know, more is more. You know, the antibiotic working, well, take more. The aspirin is now making my headache go away. Well, take two. Homeopathy is exactly the opposite. The more you dilute a substance, the more powerful it becomes. Of course, it's not just diluting, it's also diluting and then succussing it. Again, that's homeopathy speak for shaking. So you have to dilute and shake a number of times until you get the remedy that you want with the strength, that's the potency, the strength that you desire. Once he had the remedy made, he proved it with a group of students. So he did what we call a homeopathic proving. Now, proving is from the German word prüfen, which means to test. And it's basically testing a new remedy in the same way that pharmaceutical companies would test a new drug, except to test on animals, because we don't need to, because all the remedies are perfectly safe, but also because mice cannot tell you how they actually feel. You can observe their behavior, or you can observe if they grow third ear or something, but they cannot tell you how that drug makes them feel, if it gives them nightmares, if it makes them more sad or depressed. So this is how a proving is done. And it is done in a very similar way to a scientific method of, you know, double blind with placebo groups and so on. And then the provers collect and record what happens to them, that they feel is different on any level, on level, on the mental level, on the emotional level. And then at the end of the process, then the information is collected, and that goes into the description of the remedy, which is called Materia Medica. Okay. Maybe for a break, and we will continue right after that. Okay.
Om Times TV. In my book, Gifts from the Earth, I illustrate the healing properties of 12 gemstone remedies. You will see real case studies from my practice and dive into the wonderful world of gemstone remedies. This is a clear and practical guide on how to use gemstones in homeopathy. Whether you are an experienced practitioner or beginner, you will find this book a fascinating read. Gifts from the Earth is available on Amazon. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me, for just 1 hour, If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Hi, welcome back. Okay, so Rajan Sankaran made his remedy from diamond, and he called it adamas, which is Greek for unbreakable. And remember at the beginning I said that homeopathic remedies made from crystal remedies will deepen your relationship and understanding those and gemstones. And they say that what I think happens is that when you take a crystal in homeopathic form, you connect with the source. Let's see, how can I explain it better? So when you're using a crystal for meditation or for healing purposes, for example, again, diamond, what was diamond traditionally used for in crystal healing? Well, diamond had, obviously, because it's hardness, it had a reputation for strength. And so it was linked to protection. It was very valued by soldiers and warriors to give them protection, but also to give them courage. Because of its color, it's always been linked with the crown chakra. And so used in meditation to create intuition, vision, creativity, clairvoyance. These are all very, very positive and understandable qualities and properties. And then, of course, because of its color, again, for its purity, diamond was the symbol of fidelity and love, and that's why we still have diamond rings for engagement rings. So the idea of eternity and love and vision and being, you know, the crown chakra is what plugs into the universe when it's open. And so diamond facilitated, was always thought to facilitate this process, and putting a diamond in the eye was something that was always practiced for thousands of years. Now, when we connect to the source of diamond, we don't just connect to the end product. So the diamond is the end result of a whole long arduous process. When you take it in homeopathic form, you connect to this process. You go back to the source, the origin, beginning. And so you can have different perceptions. When I say diamond, what kind of words would come to your mind? Think about hard, obviously, because it's a hard stone. It's the hardest. It's sparkly, obviously. Light, as in it gives light, it reflects the light beautifully and perfect. You know, when I think about a beautiful diamond, beautifully cut, is just perfection. I mean, diamond is called the king of gemstones. Like, there's nothing better. Okay. Now, think about how a diamond is actually formed originally. Carbon down in the middle of the earth, pressed, squeezed under incredible heat for millions and millions of years. What kind of words would you use for that? Well, I would think of words like pressure, because clearly the physical pressure. So transformation was, like I said, you took a piece of your, and after just a few million years, you get a fantastic, beautiful, shiny, sparkling diamond. That's amazing transformation. Also suffering, because when you think about pressure, physical pressure can also be a metaphor for human suffering, the pressure that so many of us go through in our lifetime. And darkness because that's where the journey of diamond starts. Complete darkness with no witnesses, and it's not until somebody digs it up that we can see what a diamond actually is. And so when the provers started to test this remedy, a lot of these themes came about. And particularly when you look back at the words that I just used, you already can see a polarity, light versus darkness. This is a very common theme. Every remedy has a polarity. And I think it's true of the world that we're in, the dimension that we're in. Everything has a polarity in our world. Everything has the good side and the shadow side. And homeopathy up to the surface reveals this. So what's the shadow of diamond? Diamonds are beautiful. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? But diamonds are also found in some of the most troubled areas in the world. South Africa, South America, India, Africa. These are places that have seen war and violence for so long, and it's not stopping. Diamonds are used to buy weapons to kill human beings. They're used in we have the expression blood diamonds. So they are not born in happy places. Diamonds do absorb energy. This is one of the characteristics that has always been clear in crystal lore about diamond. And think about those diamonds, those big diamonds that are said to be cursed. Apparently, you know, owners of diamonds, they change hands all the time, and whoever owns that particular diamond has a tragic death and mysterious death. I don't know if that kind of fits into the picture of diamonds as being absorbing this energy as well. And so that's the shadow side of diamonds. So the provers who tested the remedy Adamas, they had visions, nightmares of wars, of violence. They felt very emotionally very drained, even depressed. They felt cold physically. Diamonds are cold. Diamonds are also called ice. They're cold to the touch. So I would never, before studying homeopathy and studying crystals in homeopathy, I really liked diamonds. They were my favorite stone. Well, not anymore, actually. And diamond as a remedy, adamas as a remedy, is a very, very good remedy for depression. I have given it to a couple of patients in the past who had fallen into a really, really deep depression. And when I say depression, it's not like, oh, I'm not feeling so today, or oh, I can't be bothered. I mean, clinical depression. The scary thing about that, that when the patient were telling me how they felt, there was no emotion attached to that. Incredibly detached, in fact. And detachment is another symptom of Adamas, this coldness that is both physical but also emotional. And because I knew these patients before that depressive state, and I knew their real self in health and how bubbly and lively they were, it was really scary to see that in them. And they were scared themselves because they recognized that that was not, they were not being themselves. That was something really, really dark, and they didn't know how to get out. And they would say things like, I've lost my sparkle. And isn't that interesting that in homeopathy, you really look at not just the person or just the symptoms or the body language, but you listen to words, because so many times the words really tell you the remedy. They tell you what the patient needs. And so they talk about sparkle. They were sparkling, because the diamond in health is wonderful. It's creative, and it's intuitive, and it's generous, and it's extroverted. Very much a remedy for creative people, musicians, or anyone who has a creative side to them, whatever they are. And then, for whatever reason, when they lose this sparkle, the first thing that goes is the creativity. They cannot write a note, they cannot draw anything, they have no ideas, they're completely blank, and they're blank emotionally. They say, well, I used to love music, I used to love listening to music, or my favorite song and dance, or I used to love going to the beach, I have a favorite place that I go to on holiday. And now that means my children don't give me any pleasure. I just go through the motion, and I feel it because I want to. I love my family. I love my kids, and I want to play with them and be for them. And I do that, but it gives me absolutely no joy. And there is anything, and I don't know what it is. It feels like I'm fallen into a dark, bottomless pit, and I can't see the light. And again, think about the diamond when it's being formed, where is it? It's in this dark place with no light, with no chance of ever seeing the light. And there is this coldness and hardness. And sometimes the depression can come about because there was a trigger that reminded the person of some past traumatic event. That can happen. And when we have, everybody reacts in different ways, of course, but one of the ways in which human beings sometimes react to violence, to pressure, to trauma, is by freezing, totally frozen, don't feel anything. That's a defense mechanism, obviously, because you don't want to hurt. And so you just freeze and carry on. Just pretend that nothing's happening. And of course, it is a defense mechanism. There's a good reason why your brain does that, so to protect you. If you get stuck in that gear, that because that will stop you from feeling anything. And that's the... So, you know, after that, I wasn't a big fan of diamonds anymore. It's not all doom and gloom, but definitely it did made me think again before wearing diamonds. Doesn't mean that they're bad. Like as Peter Tumminello, another very good homeopath who actually wrote a book on gemstone called the 12 Jewels, and is one of it's one of the few, very few textbooks on gemstone remedies and homeopathy. If you're going to wear a diamond, don't wear it. I'm sure that's not an issue for most of us. but very big diamond, to wear a big diamond, you have to be a very strong person with a very strong character. And you have to look after, you have to cleanse, because like I said before, diamonds are well known for absorbing all the energy like sponges, and when they get saturated with all negative energy or whatever, then it back out, and that can hit you. And this is just an example of how home works. So you see, you get the flip side. You get back to the source. You get connected to the source from the origin of the remedy, which I think is more, I would say, almost intimate relationship with crystals, with gemstone. It really helps you understand where they came from, why they came about. To me, they're like fruits. They're like fruits of the earth, gifts. And that's why I call my book Gift the Earth, because that's what they are. It's like, you know, picking a crystal from the ground is like picking a tree. They are natural fruits. Okay, you can't grow them, but they are natural. They come from the earth. And they help us just like everything else. I heard a crystal healer one time on YouTube channel, and said that crystals hit for us. And I really liked that expression. I thought it was very easy to understand, and it was very apt, and it really stuck in my mind. It's true. And so it gave me a renewed respect for these amazing gemstones, these amazing fruits of the... So I hope you found this episode interesting. There will be more to come. If you want to connect with me, you can visit my website, which is homeopathyheal.co.uk. And I have recently started an academy, an online learning center called the Academy of Evolutionary Homeopathy, which is a private group. It's on Facebook, and it's a members only learning center where you can have unlimited access to all my courses, recorded and live, and you can join us in group proving. I have some exciting provings of new gemstones remedies coming up in the near future. So if you have any questions, like I said, my website is there. I have a newsletter. There's all sorts of ways that you can communicate with me, ask me questions. If you have any suggestions on future episodes as well, I am also very, very happy to take suggestions. I'm hoping to have some interesting guests as well in the near future. So you don't me yapping away for an hour. And I really hope give you maybe a different perspective and a different angle. I am not here to say that the homeopathic way is better than crystal healing when it comes to crystals and gemstones. It's just a different way of looking at the subject. And if you have a favorite, let me know as well. My favorite gemstone at the moment is citrine quartz, but partly because it's yellow and that's my favorite color. And color is another thing that can be turned into homeopathic remedy, believe it or not, and it's linked with light frequency. I mentioned earlier on light healing, especially now. And in my academy, this is what I like to mix and match. That's why I call it evolutionary homeopathy, because we're always, I'm not there to teach all the time. We're there to share knowledge and learn together, because there are so many things that are coming up right now and it's so exciting. And it's not even new things. It's rediscovering. That's why I say that this is the best of time to be alive, because we are waking up. We are rediscovering things that our ancestors already knew thousands of years ago, and they're probably laughing at us like right now. But at least, you know, hey, better late than never, as they say. And at least we are waking up now, and we're rediscovering nature and the power of nature and the power of ourselves as part of the earth. I think we are not just being plonked onto the surface of the earth. We are part of the earth, and we all understand that things will go much better in the world, because if you're hurting others and if you're hurting the earth, you're just hurting yourself. Anyway, I'm really glad time with you, and I hope you will be there next time as well. So thank you very much, and good night.
This show is not intended to diagnose, prevent, or treat any diseases or illnesses. The information presented within cannot substitute the advice of your physician or other trained healthcare professionals. The content of this show is for educational purposes only and is the expressed opinion of the show host and guests.